Randy Taylor. Randy is an engineer at Oklahoma State. He has been leading this group of trying to do a more in-depth study, and John has been part of that, of looking at can we use yield monitors for on-farm testing. That's really the question we're after. And you can see there's a big list of authors. I'm trying to see who's here. Randy Bowman is here, so he can set me straight on Oklahoma. John Wanier is here, of course, from Texas. Mike Bushermole from Tennessee. George Valitas from Georgia. I don't see anybody from Alabama. But anyway, and then we got engineers paired up with cotton specialists. Now, they say, you think cotton specialists are tough. They're out there in the field all day. But there's only a few of them that can stand working with engineers. So we appreciate people like Randy Bowman. That's why we have such a big list. We tried to get a bunch of people together to look at this problem, because what we needed were variety trials. We needed variety trials with yield monitors, and we needed someone that could then download the yield monitor data, make sure the yield monitor data was working. And so we had to put all these things together. And one of the things, I'll get to that later. Well, I'll just say, I was telling Randy, the probability of all those things coming together, as you will see, is pretty low. But we did get some data. So we did want to look at, can we use a yield monitor for testing? We kind of knew, and I'll explain why that we would expect some variety impact on the calibration. And so is there a way we could develop a protocol to get rid of that variety, maybe some external data that we could use to correct with? And so John already hinted at how the DEER system works. It's a microwave. It's looking at the reflection. The more reflection you get, the higher amount of stuff you got going through there. The other yield monitors out there for cotton are using light interruption. And so if you look at this picture, these are cotton bowls. If this were a real shoot, those cotton bowls would be flying out and hitting you in the face. Okay, so we're looking at a cross section. And so basically these other light ones are shooting light beams and counting the number of times the beam is interrupted. And so if I simplify it, it's not quite this simple, but I look at it on a picker as a bowl counter. All right. So it's counting the number of times that beam's interrupted, kind of how many bowls are going through there. And so immediately you can see this is not a mass flow sensor. We're using it as a mass flow sensor, but it's really anything more of a volumetric flow sensor. And so if you have a bowl with a big seed, big heavy seed in it, and then you have a variety with a big heavy seed, you might see where that would calibrate differently to mass than something like the old 555 with a tiny little seed in there and the bowl's pretty light. So immediately we can see why we might expect some differences, and that might hypothesize one method to characterize a correction factor would be something to do with lint percentage. So that's what we wanted to look at. These are all the criteria that Randy Taylor put forward on what we would like to see in these tests. And so you can see the certain plot size, at least 6 varieties. Here's some varieties we'd like. And we like all that replicated, all right? And we're not going to pay you to do it, by the way, either. We're just going to want something you're already doing. So we didn't always get that. And then here's all the data that was collected. There's an example, kind of what John was showing here. This is one of the variety tests in Georgia that Guy Collins was running. George copied me on the data, so I actually got to do something and make a map for a change. But we took all these things, had the reference scale, bowl buggies, a lot of what John just explained, that you saw kind of some of the similar techniques as to what he was doing. I would say probably the Texas site was one of the best because of the little sampler he has and, you know, really good control on the load cells on the bowl buggy. The other thing, and then we're not going to talk about this other than say this is going to be in the future. In 2012, we also took some bowl samples to see if, in addition to lint percentage, if there might be some, you know, characteristics of the bowls that were causing the calibration, like bowl size, big bowls, big fluffy bowls versus tight bowls. Are there any other characteristics where we could describe that might be useful in trying to develop a calibration factor or a way to correct something without doing variety by variety calibration? So here's just a quick example And with John's previous presentation, I don't need to spend a lot of time on these examples. Just an example, one, here's a site in Georgia that George Valitas did. The blue bars are the reference from the bull buggy that Guy Collins had, and the red bars are the yield monitor. One thing, this is 2012, George didn't calibrate the monitor on purpose, all right? So it was just an uncalibrated yield monitor. So, but you look you put in an offset there, that would get pretty decent agreement. Here's an example of South Carolina where we did calibrate. And I do want to say, I'm going to be talking about all the problems with yield monitors. I'm a fan of yield monitors. I believe we need to use yield monitors more. We have plenty of data that says when we look at the correlation between something like the electrical conductivity map or soil type or topography, those yield maps correlate back to that spatially. All right, so we are characterizing spatial variability. We need to, and then I will not say that relative differences matter, but that's not all that matters. If we want to, one of the most valuable things for a yield map is turn it into a profit map. And so if we don't calibrate to yield properly, then that profit map can't be derived. So calibration is very important as well. But again, one of the reasons we got into this, we did a survey of some cotton farmers, I think in 2012, about what were their greatest research priorities. And one of the things that came out, herbicide-resistant weeds. Not a big surprise on that one. But in the top four was variety selection. And so the cotton specialists are already doing a lot of on-farm variety trials. All these new varieties, farmers want to know, you know, what's the best variety for my farm? They're changing all the time. So we're trying, it would be great if we had a simple way for farmers to do on-farm variety trials. So that's, again, another part of the motivation for this, without bull buggies, without, you know, weighing bull buggies and all that stuff. One of the ways Randy decided to look at this data, and I really think this is a good way, he just said the question, okay, we're not so much interested in if we predict the yield of Stoneville 54, 58. We want to know, does the bull buggy and the yield monitor say, was that, both agree that that was the best yielding variety, all right? And so if we're talking about variety selection, all we care is, does the yield monitor rank things the same way the bull buggy does? And so here's an example of, he did this type of thing, analysis for every site. And not every site is represented. For example, Mike in Tennessee didn't have a replicated trial, so we're going to have to go back and figure out how to integrate that data. There was some of the trials where we have data that weren't perfect to fit the mold that haven't been analyzed yet, so we'll be adding that later. But here's one I want to call it good, all right? So most of the top three varieties, not exactly ranked the same, but the good varieties ranked by the bull buggy were the good varieties ranked by the yield monitor, and the worst variety ranked by the yield monitor was the same as the one ranked by the bull buggies. This is what I call a good result. Now this, I think it's probably the same data John was showing where there was no correlation or negative correlation between the yield monitor data and the bull buggy data. This is one what I call bad, all right? So this is not what we want to see, where the yield monitor found the worst variety and the bull buggy found the worst variety was the best variety. So this is not what we want to see, so I call this bad. And if you take the 2, 4, 6, 7 sites that we've processed so far using that criteria, my very subjective rating would say 2 of those came out good, 3 came out so-so. So when I say so-so, it kind of got the high ones and the bottom ones, but in the middle it's kind of a mess. And then the bad is where it was, you know, it didn't segregate the good and the bad at all. So not consistent results. We had some examples where it worked, some examples where it didn't, not the results we really wanted. And then the idea, can we collect with lint turnout? And you can see here at one of the Oklahoma sites, one of the Texas sites, John already kind of hinted, there was a high correlation between the error and lint turnout, but at one of the sites in Georgia, there was no correlation between the error and lint turnout. So we haven't found a simple solution. We are still pondering this. So in conclusion, we did see significant error by variety. So I would not say, of course, and this, you know, you can use the yield, as John already said, I would not go out and use the yield monitor for variety testing without calibrating for each variety. But there were times where they did agree. So there's some hope there. But we haven't really been able to identify a common factor that we could use to correct. I really hope that we could just come up with a way to say, if the lint percentage is this, put in this correction factor and you're good to go. That doesn't look like it's going to be that simple. We haven't lost hope on it. There's still some data to analyze, but it's going to be more challenging than we thought. And with that, I will be glad to take questions. If you have questions about any specific sites, George and John and Randy are here. Oh, the other thing I didn't mention, I should have mentioned, that this at all those different sites, there were different brands of yield monitors. So two of the sites had Ag Leader, two of the sites had the John Deere, and then there's one that I didn't talk about in Oklahoma. Randy's playing with a Trimble yield monitor that's not designed for cotton. It's designed for grains, but it uses, is it on, Wes is here too, so he can set me straight. He's going to tell Randy how I screwed everything up. It's counting the number. It's just like the other. It's a beam, and it's looking at how many times the beam's interrupted, right?
It's basically a single beam. It's a grain yield monitor. It's a Trimble style. If you're familiar with those, it goes with duck. But now we're looking for lift to build them versus, you know, we're looking at a grain duck. So that's kind of the problem with it.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And yeah, what would be our goal for an accuracy? And you know, I will tell you, historically we have said, and Calvin Perry's back there that did some of the original calibrations of yield monitors, I used to say 5% I'm pretty happy with, right, for like making a profit map or something like that. Does that sound reasonable? And one of the things I point out on John's results, he was showing bigger errors like 12 or 11 15. But in reality, you asked about post-calibration. I would say that 5 to 3% error comes after post-calibration that you had mentioned, Randy, that we would get that level.
Yeah, I can respond to that.
Please.
In my opinion, you know, as a journalist, you know, if we can find differences at, you know, 5% or 10% in a year, we feel like we've done, you know, a pretty good job with our monitoring.
All right, so there's your goal. And what's a common, like in some of a variety trial, what's a common significant difference in yield?
It varies, but you know, it can be anywhere from 40 to 50 pounds on 3+ bale cotton. In some of these hot trials, that mm-hmm. we can be using that lead weight wagon to measure the yields. And after getting there, that's a lint weight.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much.